So we're going to talk now with the League Against Cruel Sports, who are campaigning for Chesterfield Football Club to cancel a booking that's been made by the Barlow Hunt. The Barlow Hunt is a trail hunt group, but trail hunting has been known to be or referred as a smokescreen for actual hunting in the past, and there's all sorts of issues, legal and moral, that come with it. Joining me now is John Petrie, who is the Senior Campaigns Manager at the organisation. Hi, John.
Hello.
Let's start with the big question then. What's wrong with trail hunting? Lots of people have been in touch over the last few days to say, but it's not fox hunting. They don't kill foxes. What's the problem?
So ever since the Hunting Act came into force, we've been monitoring hunts. So that's almost two decades now, in fact, because we're well into the 2020s. And all the evidence points to trail hunting being nothing more than a smokescreen for good old-fashioned illegal fox hunting. Day after day during the hunting season, foxes are chased and killed by hunts up and down the country. And I'm sure the Barlow hunts are no different to the rest. Huntsmen themselves, leading huntsmen, have been caught on video calls describing it as a smokescreen. The Chief Superintendent Matt Longman, who's the most senior policeman in the country regarding fox hunting, has described it as a smokescreen and said that it's just that illegal hunting is rampant up and down the country.
I'm told there's a video as well of the leader of the Barlow Hunt openly saying to members that they can utilise the trail rules as a smokescreen and carry on as normal. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the video I've seen. Is that video accurate?
So it's not unusual for hunts to describe trail hunting as a way of getting away with fox hunting. So I would say that is an accurate description of what hunts are up to week in, week out. And it's time for that to change. And it's time for, you know, community organisations like football clubs. I'm a big football fan myself. If my local football club was going to host a hunt in their ground, I'd be furious and I'd be writing to the chairman myself. And I'd encourage all Chesterfield fans to do the same.
You think that'll make an impact?
For sure it'll make an impact. I mean, football clubs pride themselves at being at the heart of their community. And, you know, I'm a big Plymouth Argyle fan, so we're a few leagues higher than Chesterfield, but it's not long since we've been playing each other.
We can still keep you off the show at this stage, you know.
And I'm very sure that just like my club, who are at the pillar of the community, and they really do care about what their fans think, what they feel about issues. And we know that almost eight in 10 people, whether that's rural or in cities, are against fox hunting. And I'm sure that the makeup of the Chesterfield fan base is no different to that.
Perhaps it's too late this year, though. Is that a problem? I know some people have said if the club were to cancel the booking now, it would be discrimination and they could have a legal issue on their hands. But is it perhaps just as important to send a message for next year?
I think it's important to cancel it now. It's important to not host in the future. It's always important to send a message. You know, you wouldn't see any other type of crime that was going on. You wouldn't see any football club willingly host an organisation that is, you know, hiding illegal activity behind some smokescreen. You wouldn't have that in any other walk of life, and fox hunting should be no different. You know, football clubs should be against criminal activity, and they should be against fox hunting because it is illegal and it is immoral.
I'm told this is not the first time the club have hosted this group, and also that senior members of the football club hierarchy, right to the top, didn't even know about this one or the previous ones. What does that say to you?
So, I mean, I'm disappointed to hear that it's not the first time, but I'm not surprised. You know, there will be many people around the country aren't aware that trail hunting is a smokescreen for fox hunting. Lots of people are, but many people aren't. And there's no reason why I would expect the commercial managers at football clubs to be those type of people that would be in the know. But now they are, because fans are telling them, we're telling them, hunt saboteur groups in the local area are telling them what this hunt gets up to, the local communities are telling them what this hunt gets up to. So there's no reason now and in the future why they should be hosting this.
Going back to 2019, just on this hunt in particular, it looks to me there's been a lot of evidence of wrongdoing. There's an article here saying that the Barlow Hunt confirmed that a fox was killed by hounds. The year previously, in 2018, there was a badger caught in an illegally set trap by the huntmaster of the Barlow Hunt. So again, people that sympathise with hunts and say they're legitimate, they're legal, they're traditional, even they would have to look at the Barlow Hunt and say this is a particular group who have a history of wrongdoing.
Of course, and this isn't, you know, this isn't specific to any one hunt. There aren't very many hunts around the country that haven't been caught out doing that type of activity. And what we know is that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is rural crime. It's hard to find, it's hard to record, it's hard to report, and it's hard to prove. So where there are these instances of them being caught out, the chances are they're being doing this a lot more often than they're being caught. And there isn't really an excuse. And in fact, what we've seen over, so Boxing Day is a big day for the hunting community, as I'm sure your listeners will know. And what we've seen in defense of hunts is lots of people, when they're defending trail hunting, these hunt supporters, prominent hunt supporters, refer to things like, you know, it's wildlife management, it's vermin control, foxes need to be, their populations need to be kept under control. Why are they using this as a defense of trail hunting, which they say isn't about fox hunting? And the real reason they're using this as a defense is because sometimes they forget that they're supposed to pretend that they're not hunting foxes, and they clearly are.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it was something I was going to ask you, because that was one of the comments I got on Twitter, was somebody was saying, you know, foxes kill pregnant sheep, they kill chickens and so on. So there's nothing wrong with this. And I did put the question to him and say, but if you're saying these hunts are killing foxes for whatever reasons, whether you agree or disagree with that topic, because that's a controversial one. Lots of people will say they want foxes culled, a bit like badgers and things like that. It's controversial. But the fact, as you pointed out there, is if that's happening, it is illegal. So if hunts are saying we're not killing any animals, we're not killing any foxes, then there is absolutely no benefit to wildlife and to local communities.
No, of course not. And in fact, you've mentioned earlier that the things like badger set blocking, it's not just about foxes. It's the damage they do to the environment, for other wildlife, and even local communities. Like, they run roughshod through people's land. We've got lots of examples of them killing domestic animals. In fact, just recently, there was an alpaca killed down in the south. You know, they are not in control of those animals. They are hunting and killing foxes. They are not allowed to hunt like they do as a form of wildlife management. Now, how we go about wildlife management is a different issue, but the issue here is that people are hunting and killing animals for nothing other than their own enjoyment.
So let's talk a little bit about the event itself, because again, some people have said, what's the harm in the football club hosting it? It's not as if they're hunting foxes on the pitch. And whilst I appreciate the comic element of that, I understand the point they're trying to make. The football club are not facilitating a hunt, absolutely. But I'm led to believe the annual ball, which this is that Barlow Hunter are having at the football club, is the biggest fundraiser of the year. And in effect, is what funds all of the actual trail hunts, if you want to use that phrase, for the year. So this is actually quite a significant event, which if was not taking place, would have a huge impact with the lack of hunts going forward.
Well, I think you've kind of answered your own question in the question there by pointing out just how important fundraising is to these hunts. And if they don't have that level of fundraising, they don't have the level of criminal activity that we know they're probably going to be getting up to. And football clubs should not be supporting that. They are, as I've said, they're so integrated into their communities. Is that the example they want to be setting to young fans? Oh, well, don't worry. We're not actually allowing the illegal activity. We're just allowing the fundraising for the illegal activity to happen. I don't think that's a good enough reason to allow it. It's not a good enough excuse. And they wouldn't allow it for anything else. You know, if there was a gang of pickpockets that wanted to go and fundraise at the football club, they wouldn't say, oh, well, they're not pickpocketing here, would they? They'd say, no, of course we're not going to allow them to do that. And there's no different here. Just because it's a rural wildlife crime doesn't make it any different under the law. It's still illegal.
Now, one issue might be a bit of a hypocrisy, perhaps. The Duke of Devonshire is the club president. It's an honorary position, but nonetheless, he has a big involvement in the football club. And he has allowed trail hunts through his land where he resides at Chatsworth Estate. So if the club were to say that they condemn trail hunting, or they refuse to accept bookings from trail hunting groups, it could be quite an issue there as well.
I mean, I'm sure that could be an issue. I mean, no one wants to fall out with the honorary club president. But maybe they need to ask those questions of themselves, don't they? Like, is this something that he should be supporting? Is it something that the club should be supporting? I know I wouldn't be particularly happy with my club, actually based down in Devon, Plymouth Argyle, having an honorary president that was supporting potential illegal activity on their land. And you'd hope that maybe he wasn't aware of what they were getting up to, and maybe this foray around what's happening with the football club might open his eyes to it, and maybe he will make the right moral decision too.
Just finally, then, I just want to talk about this because this has been the main sort of argument. You can understand football fans wanting to defend their club's image. And ironically, that's the one thing that seems to be uniting this division. There's a big division of the fans at Chesterfield between those that are saying they don't want this happening with their club and that they're not happy about it and campaigning for this to be cancelled, and the other side who are arguing and causing that infighting by saying, leave the club alone. But ultimately, what unites them is the same thing. They all want their club image to be cleared by this. So the big question that keeps being asked is, what's this got to do with football? Why, as a football club, should we be bothered? It's just business. So my question to you is, why, if you were a Chesterfield Football Club supporter, would you be worried about this being held? Why would you be worried about the controversy, the arguing, the infighting, and the image of the club?
So, I mean, I do get that argument. Like I said, I'm a football fan myself, and you often hear this argument: if it's just a business, it should do what it wants. Well, if it was just a business, why would you pay 20 quid a week to go and watch it when they're rubbish? It's not just a business, is it? It's a community. It's a pride of place in that local community. It represents who you are, what your town, what your city, what your region is about. That's what football clubs are. Football clubs are the people. They're the communities. And is that what you want your community to represent to the rest of the world? I don't think it is. And I don't think it's controversial to say that football clubs represent more than just a business. I understand football clubs need money. They always need money. It's tough to say no. But sometimes you have to do the right thing. And in this case, the right thing is to say no, we don't want your money. We don't want to support what you do.
I think the word that came to mind for me there, it's not a word you used in that, but the word that screamed out to me was identity. And I think that's what football is, you said there, that's what football is all about, and that's what taking pride in your club is all about. And I suppose that's the question is, do you want to identify as someone who, by what's the word, by association to your club, someone who supports hunting?
Well, I don't think I would. I don't think a lot of people would. As I said, I've followed my club up and down the country in the past, and you always keep going back because it's about who you are. It's about pride of place, pride of the people that that you love, pride in your community. And I wouldn't want my club representing something like that. I have seen my club represent things in the past that haven't been right, and I've stood up and I've argued against that. And I'm very fortunate that my football club would never host anything like this now, because there's been change, and change, positive change, happens within communities when people stand up and fight for what they know is right. And in the end, everyone benefits from that, because, like you say, it is, you feel better about everything about your club when the identity that is attached to that is a positive one. And no one wants to hear me bad-mouthing Chesterfield. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to ask them to do the right thing, because I believe firmly that most football clubs will always do the decent thing, especially lower league clubs. The Premier League's a different matter. There's all kinds of problems with that. But really, when you follow your lower league club up and down the country, it's out of love. It's out of identity. It's out of passion. You're not there. You're not a glory hunter, are you? Let's be honest.
John, I know you're absolutely right. Thank you very much for joining us on the show. I look forward to catching up with you at a championship game when we play you in 3 or 4
Oh, that'd
years'
be
time.
great.
We're on our way.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, pleasure. That's John Petrie there, the senior campaigns manager for the League Against Cruel Sports.